grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of our Lord's parables used preposterous situations to show how the gospel overturns the normal order of human logic. But today's parable is a slice of real life. Pharisees and tax collectors, and no one could miss what Jesus had to say. Everyone hated tax collectors because, well, they were thugs. They were in cahoots with Rome. You might call them the original mafia. Anyone coming across a Pharisee, on the other hand, well, they knew they were religious, but they also knew that they were just insufferable, arrogant, and as self-righteous as they could be. And Pharisees made such a show of their piety. Jesus tells of one whose public prayer was, "God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." My goodness, this was no prayer. It was a bad campaign speech. He boasted about going over the top when it came to fasting and giving. Now, take fasting. He fasted twice a week. Do you know how often the Old Testament commands a person to fast? Once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's it. Once a year, not 104 times a year. And then he boasted about giving tithes on all that he got. Now, God only required a tithe on your income. This man was paying a tithe also on what he bought with his income. So he was going well above and beyond what God required. And he was feeling really good about himself for doing that. But is there anything wrong with going over the top like that? Well, you know, your boss likes you to go the extra mile at work. Your teachers give you extra bonus credit if you do a little more homework. And Jesus once said, if anybody asks for your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if he asks you to go 1 mile, go two. Now, it's true that God expects us to be faithful in all things, including our offerings to the cause of Jesus Christ, but we do so in humility. And if one has the means to be very, very generous, well, what a blessing that is to the giver and to the receiver and to the church. The problem with the Pharisee is that he's bragging on himself. He's not worshiping, he's bragging. He wanted to attract attention and not praise God. He's the very picture of a man full of himself. He went to the temple not to pray, but to grandstand. And friends, that is a corrupted view of the faith. Obedience to the law is, yes, it's expected of all believers. And yes, the law, the Ten Commandments, does not save us from our sins. Only the gospel does, and the gospel requires nothing of us. True, we must obey the law, honor our vows, exercise spiritual discipline, and yes, even make offerings to the church. These are good things to do, but you're not doing them to win points or bragging rights before God. You are saved by what Jesus did for you, not what you do for him. Consider your offerings. Offerings are not bargaining chips. God is deeply offended by people who think they can buy their way into heaven with money, good conduct, claims of pedigree. Offerings are not a fee. They are actually the fruits of your faith. They are gifts given by people who realize their own sinfulness and rejoice in God's forgiveness and blessings. They are thank offerings freely given and lovingly accepted by God for the use in carrying out the cause of Jesus Christ on earth. Whenever a Christian makes an offering, it's Jesus having his way with you, not vice versa. So much for the Pharisee. What about that tax collector? Why was he so despised? Well, I suppose if you came across an agent from the IRS, you might be a little concerned, right? You know, the very first wedding I ever conducted was the niece of the church secretary, and she introduced me to her fiancé. And I said, "Oh, Bob, what do you do for a living?" He said, "I work for the IRS." I said, "Why are you here?" I don't have much money on me, but I'm really pleased to say I got a card from them about 2 years ago. After 30 years, they were married 30 years, still married, still going to a Missouri Senate church and officers in the church. So I was really thankful that the very first wedding I ever officiated at stuck. And he's retired from the IRS. But why were they so hated way back in those days? Well, ancient collectors were subcontractors for the hated Romans. Now, Rome was no different than any other nation. They needed tax revenue to function. But Rome, to get taxes, auctioned off the collection rights to locals, to the highest bidder. Rome really did prefer the locals did the dirty work for them. And Roman tax collectors, like the fellow in the parable, they were not paid civil servants like the IRS is today. Tax collectors in those days, they were not paid a salary. So why would you want to be a tax collector? Were you doing it for free? Oh, no. Rome permitted tax collectors to overcharge people and keep the excess as their commission. A tax collector for Rome only had to forward the taxes that were due for his territory. So the tax men ran a sort of a shakedown mafia-like operation. They collected always more than you needed to pay, and they became quite wealthy. To get those lucrative jobs, they had to turn their backs on their family, on their country, and on their God. They were hated for what they were doing. But this tax collector was different than the others. True, he sinned by taking that job. True, he turned his back on his family, his nation, and his God. But he was genuinely sorry. He repented of his sins. So he went to the temple to pray, not to boast like the Pharisee. This tax collector, known as a publican, he wouldn't even approach the rest of the people at prayer. He stood far off with his head bowed down, not even daring to look up into heaven. And he offered a simple prayer. Beating his breast, he made only one request of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the Pharisee had nothing to offer to God, but the publican did. He offered sincere repentance. He asked God for mercy. And as Jesus said, he received everything he wanted and more. Unlike the Pharisee, who was just content to brag. Jesus wants us to remember these two people. He said, "I tell you, this man, the Pharisee, the tax collector, went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee." You know, tax collectors were about as close to the bottom of the sin barrel as you could get. Yet, when even someone way down there asks God for mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ, they receive it. He went home justified. Now, a good way to think of the word justification is justification, just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. God treats those who believe and repent just as if They were holy and blameless. Now, if it weren't for the sacrificial and faithful support of believers like you giving for the right reason, I'm afraid the world would be filled with people just like that Pharisee. People who think that righteousness comes by patting yourself on the back and by cutting other people down. How wrong that is. Righteousness comes to you from Jesus Christ. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, the good work of Christians reflect the righteousness of Jesus, who said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's part of this great reversal that I've been mentioning in sermons these past few weeks. Our sins, well, they go to Jesus on the cross, but his righteousness comes to us when we believe that God, through grace, gave us faith to believe this. So in closing, it's never what we do. It's never the sins we avoid. We are saved solely by a loving God who sent his Son to suffer and die and pay the wages of sin and rise from the dead to conquer the curse of death for all of us. God be merciful to me, a sinner. In Christ, that prayer has been answered. Make that prayer your own. Amen. Now may the peace of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.